Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. Today's show is going to be interesting. We're going to take some time to sit down with some amazing, incredible women, and we're going to have information that you definitely want to share. So get out your notepad, get out your recorder, but hey, you don't want to miss this information. So however you do or however you use to maintain this information, please go ahead and grab a copy. And also, please go ahead and share the show, because there's someone in your network, someone in your neighborhood, there's someone who needs this information. And as I always ask and I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. And while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Ms. Simone Canego. She's a former CPA turned equestrian entrepreneur turned teacher who's the mother of six. Three adopted from South Korea and Ethiopia, Simone has the uncanny ability to both motivate and inspire others to be good in the world. An international leader and keynote speaker who recently scaled Mount Kilimanjaro, a dormant volcano in Tanzania. It's the highest mountain in Africa, and she climbed it. Good morning, Simone. How are
you? Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I'm excited to speak to a woman who is sane with six kids. Like,
wait, you're assuming a lot of things. You're thinking I'm sane? Come on. Come on.
Tell us about yourself, Simone. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Yeah, thank you. I am, first and foremost, I'm a mom. Yes, I have six kids. I've been married to my husband for 28 years, and I am an author and speaker. I wrote a book called The Extraordinary Unordinary You, which came out last October. I've done many things in my life. I started off as a CPA, have a master's in accounting, and realized that that wasn't where I wanted to be. It took me a long time to realize what I really wanted, but what I love is storytelling. And so this was kind of a natural progression. If you would have said to me 10 years ago that I would have been on stages speaking and also written a book, I would have said, no way, no way. That would not be me. But it is, and it's what I love.
So if people would have said this was not you, how did you become that person who's doing all these things?
Yeah, I struggled with myself for a long time, kind of figuring everything out, what I wanted, what I didn't like. I struggled with looking at myself and saying, are you comfortable? And I wasn't. And I had a moment where I was at this event listening to these amazing motivational speakers. And that moment kind of, I looked at myself and said, that will never be you. And I was kind of disappointed. I was like, that will never be you. And then I said, that's the whole point. You're not supposed to be them. You're supposed to be you. Look at all the things that you're already doing. Look at the way you impact the world and focus on that. And that kind of changed my mindset of how I moved forward with things, no longer trying to be something I'm not or somebody I'm not. And deciding that, what do I love? I love telling stories. And what I realized as I get up on more stages or in front of more people, that I actually feel really comfortable and I love doing it.
Now, for someone who is comfortable on stage, who loves doing it, who's been doing it for some time, how was the last year for you? How was this COVID pandemic, and what was that pivot or transition like for you?
Well, it was obviously, it was a really tough time, but there was some really bright spots for us. I mean, all of my kids were home. I was a 50% empty nester. And then everybody had to come home when the school shut down. And so that was really nice to have everyone home. And I really focused on writing. That was kind of a big part of my book, was written during the pandemic. So, and actually having the kids at home with all the chaos kind of helped remind me of all the stories that I wanted to put down on paper. So yeah, it was a really hard time. It still is, but it's been really good because I got to take a step back and see what was really important in terms of family and writing and all of those things.
So how do you maintain being an entrepreneur while you're focusing on family? I mean, because again, I have two kids. With two children, I was like, no, this is way too much. But you're writing a book, you have a business, you have six kids at home. How do you make it work?
I don't freak out when I don't get everything done in the day. That's what tomorrow is for. So I try to really prioritize what needs to get done. And, you know, as my kids get older, I mean, our youngest one is 13 now, like they're actually functioning members of society that can contribute to things around the house and really help with stuff. And they're super supportive. That's the other thing, is that my kids and my husband have always been really supportive of anything I've wanted to do, which makes it so much easier to be able to move forward with any projects that I want, because, you know, it's powerful for them.
Would you say that you have a love or a passion for numbers or accounting?
No. So it's funny, because I actually went into accounting because I was pre-med. I wanted to be a physician, and then I failed organic chemistry. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of limiting. So my parents were kind of like, look at what you're good at. I was good at math. And they said, oh, do accounting. And I was like, oh, sure, I'll do accounting. And then I was like, oh, I do not love this. So, and over time, what's funny is when I was younger, I used to hate writing. I used to be like, oh my God, this is such a challenge, and coming up with the words to describe things. And now it's completely the opposite. Now it's the word choice part is so much easier. And the math, I'm like, I don't remember this stuff anymore.
No, I agree. And the reason I asked about accounting is I don't know how, somehow, some way, on every show, no matter how many guests, there's a common theme. And what seems to be the common theme today simply is accounting. I went to college to be an accountant. Most people don't realize that that was my goal. But then I'm like, I can't sit here and count beans and look at numbers all day. Can't sit in this cubicle. I have to be free. So that was me. But then our next guest, who I'm going to introduce, also, what is her forte? Accounting. But she's a Renaissance woman who has her hands in so many different pots. She helps people with their bookkeeping, accounting, but she also helps people change their lives and helps their help their family with insurance. Miss Yvette Wright, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. How are you?
I'm fine. I love your backdrop. And one of the reasons I love it is that I can see your face, but because of the star behind you, it's almost like a halo.
Just right. I just noticed that too. That's so awesome.
It is. It's a great look.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So Ms. Wright, tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Yvette Wright. I'm a bookkeeper, a mother of two, a loving daughter. I have a lot going on. I didn't realize what I have going on. I am an entrepreneur, to say the least. I am passionate about doing hair, changing people's lives, making people beautiful, making people smile, making people happy. Also, again, helping with life insurance. That's what I do. And providing the best services that I can to a lot of families.
That's wonderful. So you mentioned life insurance. Mm-hmm. Who do you work through, or who can you tell us about how you're able to assist people?
I'm actually currently in the process of getting my insurance license through Primerica. And that has been a little journey this year that I'm working on. So, and it's a challenge, but yet it's a good challenge. And it opens your eyes to a lot of possibilities of not being prepared when the time comes. So I've been with Primerica for a few months now, about 3 or 4 months.
And why are you passionate about insurance?
Because I grew up in an environment where my caretaker was an insurance provider, and she sold burial plots for Rose Hills as well. And what happened with that is I was like 12 or 13 years old, and I was going to people's houses, and I was selling insurance with my mama. And it was so cool, because a few moons down the line, I ended up being reintroduced to the industry and becoming a part of the industry. I'm passionate about it because people die every day. And a lot of people are not prepared. A lot of minorities are not prepared because they don't have the means. The extra income, whether it's $50 or $100 a month for the premium, some people just can't afford that. And it's really important, no matter how big or small the policy is, to be prepared before an unexpected event.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was just all in Simone's business, asking her about her kids and how she lives her life with these six kids running around. You have two kids, Yvette. How do you balance being a Renaissance woman who, like you said, you help people become beautiful, you do their hair, you bake, you are in insurance, you're in bookkeeping. How do you wear all of these different glowing halo hats while still being a mom, still being a daughter?
Well, being a mother to my two is easy. My daughter is 26 and she's living her own life. And my 16-year-old, he's self-sufficient, very intelligent, very smart. So it's very easy to kind of let him be his own independent person. You know, I think young men, especially, not saying that young women don't need that, but young men need to find themselves, especially when their father is not in the home. It's very difficult sometimes to raise a male by yourself as a woman, because we don't know all their needs, just like men don't know all of our needs. So it's a challenge, but it's easy. It's an easy challenge. It's not something that is out of my reach or that I can't do. I kind of let him be himself. He does his Zoom classes and then he games. And so I'm cool with that. You know, that balance works out very fine for me. As long as he's not outside running the streets, I'm good.
Hey, I know it. Too many young teens are out running the streets. I say the same thing about my 24-year-old. He's here at the house and I love it. Now, being that your children are older, it allows you a lot more freedom. Do you feel that with this sort of emptiness syndrome that you have a restlessness where you're like, okay, I can do more? Like Simone just wrote a book during the middle of a global pandemic. Have you considered writing a book or expanding your career?
I have actually for many years, like more than 20 years, Sharifa, I've been thinking about writing a book. My story is deep, as you know, and it will make somebody cry. It'll make Simone cry just listening to me. But that is something that I admire. I have a good handful of high school friends who are now authors. And I admire that. When did y'all find time? You're such as yourself. When did you find time to write a book? And I think that's so good that I think now that I have a means to write my book other than notebook paper and a pencil, I can now put it into fruition and make it happen this year. Like that's one of my goals before the end of the year is to write.
Okay. Well, let's get that book written. Now, Simone, one of the questions Yvette asked was, how do you find the time? And I know, again, it's a global pandemic. You are at home, but you know, life pulls us. We talk about the kids, but I mean, life in general pulls at us. How do you find that time to sit down and write?
So I scheduled it just like I would any kind of job. So I would say from this hour to this hour, I am writing, and I would say it to the kids, say it to my husband, it's in my calendar. And that's what I would do. And because if I don't put something in my calendar, it just isn't going to happen. It's kind of like there are 50 million things every day that pulls us in different directions. So by scheduling that time and making everybody aware, like, okay, this is my time. Don't bother me. I'm not going to answer you. Don't call me. Don't anything. It really helped. And that's kind of how I got through it. And they started believing me after like the second day where I said, I'm really not going to respond. I am not mom right now. Don't call me. I'm not answering.
You ignored the kids, Simone. They was like, mom, we need Cheerios. And you're like, I'm not answering.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They should know where the Cheerios are by now. Hello. You know? There's certain things like they can accomplish. You know, there's times where I'm trying to ignore them and something real happens and I'm like, okay, I can't ignore that. But in general, like, oh, they can function for a few hours. I mean, hello, please.
Okay. Now, I've learned as a published author, I've learned certain little tips and tricks that I like to recommend to other people. My number one thing that I tell people is get the book out. Don't worry about the spelling. Don't worry about the grammar. We can fix all of that. But too often when you have a thought, you have that emotion, you're like Yvette said, like her story would make people cry. You want to get it out, because when you start analyzing it, it's like you lose that thought. The other thing I like to tell people is don't wait until your book is about to be published tomorrow to start promoting the book, to start building your email list. You know, you want to do the coming soon, is coming soon, is coming soon. It will be out in September, as opposed to people who get to August 31st and are like, my book's live tomorrow, and you haven't built this momentum. So to me, those are like some of the top two strategies or tips that I live by and I recommend. Simone, have you found any that you would definitely say to someone like Yvette, whose goal is to write her book this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Very similar. Set a deadline and, you know, keep that deadline. So I could have kept writing for 8 more years, you know, and never published it, because, and I think a lot of people do that. They feel like, oh, there's going to be a mistake, or I missed something. Okay, that's okay. I mean, there were definitely mistakes in my book. One of my favorite ones is I didn't notice it. I had someone edit it. They didn't notice it. I, instead of saying turning lemons into lemonade, I said turning lemonade into lemons. And so a friend caught it. She was like one of the first people to read it once it was published. And she's like, was it supposed to say that? And I was like, oh, yeah, it was. That, didn't you know that was my superpower? I can turn lemonade back into lemons. And, you know, I had to just joke it off, because, you know, like, but yeah, we all make mistakes. We're all human, but we shouldn't let the thought of that stop us from moving forward. And especially, I mean, for me, it was, this is the deadline. Whatever you're done with at this point, you got to be done, because otherwise it will never happen.
Mm. Absolutely. Now, Yvette, there's a Tanya Davis in the comments who says, Yvette, your story can also save a life. Ooh. And give hope to others. Ooh. It's go time. So what are your thoughts on Tanya's comment?
First of all, good morning, friend. Tanya Davis in the house. I accept all advice. And especially where I don't know something and I need to learn more on it, such as this book writing or publishing. And I have a publisher. She's my tax lady. Give a shout out to Remy Red. She's a publisher, and you know, she's publishing books from inmates, for inmates. And it's so awesome, because I'm like, wow, like if they're doing it, I know I could do it. You know, they don't have nothing but time. So I'm like, okay, I need to get my story out, like Tanya says, because you never know. I could save somebody's life, being the testimony and the walking testament that I am. Yes, I probably could. I wouldn't doubt that. Maybe okay. Tanya needs to help me.
Maybe we'll get you some help, but I want to go back to the specific question, because to me, and I'm, you know, because it feel like to a certain extent you danced around the question, which was not specifically about the advice that you're receiving, but your story. I mean, do you feel that your story can save lives, or that if you don't tell that story, then somebody else won't benefit from the lessons? I mean, because we even talked about Simone. Simone's wonderful lady. She's looking out for kids. She has 3 kids of her own. She adopted 3 kids to give them a better life. I know you've had a certain challenge in life with this process as well. Other people are going through that. Do you feel like your story can benefit them?
Yes. I'm strong. I'm still standing. I've been through a lot of trials and tribulations. And yes, my story can save someone's life. I've been told many times before that the things that I have gone through should have landed me 6 feet under, or I would be, you know, a whale. How can I say it? I would be an asset to the streets, basically. And that is not my forte. That is not my direction that I want to go in, or that I want to portray my life. That's not who I am. So I do feel like by getting my book out and telling my story, yes, I was given up at 5 years old, and I was put in a cab and sent to the police station so that I could be a ward of the state, and did not get emancipated until I was 19. And a lot of things happened to me in them 14 years. And I do believe that if I told my story in a book or live or anywhere when people know it, it could possibly change somebody's life, because I'm still standing and I'm still here. And no matter what we go through in life, and no matter how many hats we wear or how many times we try to hide from our kids or whatever, our story is so strong and so powerful that it will, I'm not saying it could, it will, it can save lives. Yes.
You about to have some church up in here today.
I'm getting emotional. I almost started. I almost reached for my tissue myself, you know, because, you know, Simone, she's giving me life. You know, hearing her story a little bit is powerful too. You know, being able to be an accountant, being a mother, and then being an author, you know, that's three hats just right there. And not to mention a chef, a housemaid, you know,
chef is questionable sometimes. I'm not the best cook. Short order cook most days.
I think I share that hat in this house. I don't know, but yes, my story could save a life. Yes, ma'am.
Simone, when you hear Yvette talk about her story and her, I mean, before I even go to Simone, let me come back to you, Yvette, because I was going in a different direction and that was horrible as a host. First of all, I'm so sorry to hear what you've gone through. I didn't even know about this whole cab story. And I said a story like it's a book, but it's your life. But the fact that you can be authentic and vulnerable and say, you know what, this is what I went through. This happened to me. And so to say that you're still standing, you're still strong, and you're still here, I applaud you. Look at God. Praise God. Through the grace of God, you are still here. So I think that is amazing. And like Tanya Davis said, it'll help other people who have gone through their experiences. And it's the number one reason why I do this show, because when people come to me as a business consultant and they tell me, Sharifa, I can't do this because, or I can't be successful because, or I have this disease, or I was an orphan, or I was adopted, or I was in domestic violence. Let me show you someone who has done it, someone who is doing it. So I don't believe in any excuses. So I just appreciate your authenticity. So now let me go to Simone, and I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on this. So first of all, everyone has a story, and I think it's so important that we share our stories. You know, we're at a time where people share their shiny moments on social media. They share all the happy things. And that's like one tiny snapshot of someone's life. And I think it's so important that we share our struggles, the things that, you know, make us who we are, because if we can impact that one person, then sharing the story is worth it. And it will impact so many people. And we never know what anybody else is going through. Like you just said, you didn't know that story. And we don't know anything that's going on behind people's four walls until they share it with us. And so I think it's so important to do that. And going back to the can't comments, in our house, we say can't means won't. If you say that you can't do it, it means you won't even try. You can do stuff. You just have to sit down, set the goal, and put the work in behind it. And then you can really accomplish pretty much anything you want to. You just have to work hard and keep at it and believe in yourself.
Yes, that is so absolutely true. It's so, but I want to go back to something you said about the social media, because the people who know me know, and some people tell me, Sharifa, you overshare. Like, I share almost every aspect of my life. I usually try to take out the names to protect the innocent and the guilty. But when something happens, I like to share it. And it's for that same reason. It's because, okay, if I can share all my wonderful shows, my wonderful interviews, and every time I'm out having a wonderful time, why can't I discuss when I'm having, you know, an issue or a problem? Because maybe someone else is dealing with that problem, and maybe someone else can tell, because I'm a hothead. Everybody who knows me knows. And people will come in and they will say, Sharifa, you could have handled it this way. You could have dealt with it this way. Why did you, you know, but I'm like, I'm just trying to share my thoughts. So do you ever feel or get that feeling from other people that they don't want to hear the negative, or, you know, or it maybe it's not even negative, but they don't want to hear anything that's not 100% positive?
No, I think what I've found is that people want to hear the struggles, because that way they feel like they're not alone. I think sometimes people really do feel like they're alone in their struggles. And then until you have that conversation and someone says, wow, I'm dealing with something similar, and I would have never talked about it because I was so uncomfortable to talk about it. So I've actually found the opposite. That's not to say that not everybody wants to hear it, but that's okay. The people, if you are having a conversation with one person and they want to hear it, then it's worth having that conversation. It doesn't need to be a million people listening to me.
Mm-hmm. Yvette, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the same question.
Can you ask the question again, please?
Let me ask the question in a form, the sentence in a form of a question. What I'm saying is, sharing on social media, do you find that you only share the positive aspects of your life, the positive aspects of your thought, or maybe, you know, you want to share other aspects of as well?
Social media for me is entertainment. However, I have used it for therapy, for free therapy. I will get on social media and post negative things sometimes. Sometimes I have to take it down because I don't want that energy in the atmosphere. And so then I'll retract the message or the post. But I feel that sometimes I put too much business out there. Yes. I have been inboxed about my language or inboxed about things that I say on social media. You know, I have people watching me, you know, and you do have to mind yourself. You know, you have to mind your mouth. You have to mind your language when speaking, because you could possibly, even with your own story or with the language that you use, offend someone. So I share, and sometimes I overshare, and that too can hinder some things. Like, I wouldn't say success so much, but it would hit friendships, perhaps, you know, and business relationships going forward by oversharing. You know, some things, especially in some homes growing up, they were taught not to share, you know, and that becomes a problem, because when you don't share, nobody knows you, nobody knows the inside of you, nobody knows your thoughts and things. And so I use social media for that reason, to be able to share my stories, you know, share my life with my friends and to strangers and to just build relationships. But that's, you know, sharing on social media can do both. It can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing.
I want to go back to something you said about the inbox. Like, you'll make a post and then multiple people maybe may inbox you and give you their thoughts or their feedback on what you had to say. Typically, how do you feel that you respond to, you know, their inbox message? And I'll give you an example. When I first began running for Long Beach City Council, I had made a post, and I don't recall what the post was, but to me, it was a standard Sharifa post. Like, I'm always talking about, you know, I keep it real. That's what I'm known for. I give people my opinion and I talk about whatever I want. So whatever this post was, it wasn't uncommon for me as an individual. It wasn't uncommon for me as a person, you know, for Sharifa to have made this comment. But yet I received inboxes where people said, Sharifa, you're running for city council, you can't say this. And that was 2 years ago. Then I made the announcement that I was running I had just announced I was president of the Black Chamber of Commerce. Immediately, I made a post, said a few things. I get the inboxes where people like, Sharifa, you're the president of the Black Chamber of Commerce, you can't say that. You know, I'm running for Senate in 2024, you can't say that. But when I look at the post and what I actually said, it was nothing that was not in my DNA. It was nothing that was unusual for me to have made this comment. But because of the role or the position that I was in, people felt that I needed to have censored myself. But I felt like it's, you know, when they inboxed me, I was like, well, I want the people to see, you know, who Sharifa is. I want them to get a real feel of who I am, and this is who I am. So I didn't take the comments down. I didn't remove it. I didn't explain it. I didn't change. For you, how did you respond to the inbox messages that you received?
Depending on who the messages were from, led me to my decisions whether to keep a post up or take a post down, or remove a word or two that I might have said. I try. I'm not the best. I'm a work in progress. I try to not offend people, but sometimes, you know, with things that are going on in the world, when they see posts and they see certain language or they see something that offends them, all of a sudden, you know, their character is attacked, and then we need to change ourselves. It's not so much to me about changing myself or changing that post or the words. I feel like my character might be attacked by what other people think of me. And in that instance, I'll sometimes change a word or change the post or take it down. A family have come to me and be like, that's not nice. And so I'll say, yeah, kind of right. I was in my feelings, and I'll take something down. You know, that way everybody is not necessarily in your business and things don't get super personal on social media. I think with the inboxes, people tend to voice their opinion and say how they really feel. And then it's up to you to make the decision whether you want to keep that post up or take it down or address their situation. Most of the time I don't care, but that's okay. And sometimes it isn't. When it isn't okay, like I said, I take it down. And when I'm inboxing about something I know I did wrong, or I said something that wasn't pleasing to social media, then I remove it. You know, I try to be professional as possible sometimes, but other times, you know, I go for it and I let it go, you know. Yeah. because I do believe that me being who I am is who I am. It's not who you are. It's not who Miss Simone is. It's not, you know, anybody else on social media. I'm here to entertain.
It is entertaining. It is social media, but it also brings up another point. Like for me, even some of the personal comments that I make and on my Facebook profile, I would never make on LinkedIn. I would never make on Twitter. Yeah. I would never make on my Facebook page, you know, but I feel like, hey, this is my page, my social media. I want to comment on what's going on in the world. I want to give my thoughts as well, but people just see me through the lens of politics or, you know, the president of the Black Chamber of Commerce. So it's a fine line. Simone, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, quick question. When you get comments like that, how many people is it usually that are responding like that? Is it just a couple? And is it always the same people? I seem to find when, you know, people get upset, it tends to be a small proportion of the people, and it tends to be the same people every time.
Yes, for me, it was a couple of people, but the one that stood out the most was when I was running for city council, and the person who inboxed me was someone who was a volunteer on my campaign team. And she was the type of person who felt like, you know, she was in charge and everything had to be a certain way. So basically, she was reviewing my social media to bring it to my attention to say, if we're going to do this, if you're going to win, you have to be a little bit different. You have to change. And I'm like, I'm 45. I never changed myself for anything I've ever done in my life. So I have found, just like when I built my first website in 1994, when family members told me I was lazy because I didn't want to go get a day job. And they felt like if you don't leave the house and you don't work, then you're lazy. I think sometimes when people try to protect us the most, they want us to be safe. They want us to you know, walk that fine line of everything's okay. You don't make any waves. You don't upset anybody. And I'm like, that's, Lord have mercy. I love my life. Life is good today. Today is good. I went in a totally different direction today because I wanted to have this. Did that answer your question, Simone?
Yeah, I did. Because I mean, I tend to find that, you know, I think that sometimes we have to, there's certain things that we feel like we have to do, but I tend to want to just be me. And that's what I've realized over time is that's what people actually want to see is, you know, you being authentic, because changing yourself just because someone else doesn't see it the same way, I don't think it benefits anybody.
Absolutely. So I love to hear the thoughts of our next guest. We've been talking a little bit, but let's introduce Ina Rasputnia. Ina is a stock and futures trader and finance expert with 12 years of experience. She passed NFA Series 3 license exam and now in the process of hedge fund incorporation. Also in 2019, she received the award leading innovator in wealth management and most outstanding woman in finance.
And we haven't heard from him yet, so give it up for the awesome.
Yes. Good morning, Ina. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you. We've been talking about accounting. We've been talking about writing our books. We have been talking about speaking about being our true, authentic self on social media. We love to hear your thoughts. But before we do that, Ina, please let us know who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Well, I am passionate about my job, certainly. I am a big fan of trading and investing, and I like to study every little thing about stocks and futures and so on. And I believe that my business is great because there is always a next level in this business, and you can always grow and grow. And this inspires and motivates so much. And besides, I am very passionate to help others to navigate the world of financial markets. And, you know, it's also very useful for myself because sometimes I forget some things that I used years ago, for example. But when I talk with beginners, it's just a great way to remind some interesting strategies that I used but forgot with the time and so on.
What are some of the strategies that you recommend for building wealth?
Well, it depends. First of all, you have to understand your risk tolerance. I know that it sounds so boring, and that's why most of the investors are trying to skip this step, but it's number one, because people usually have a great desire to find the stock that will rally 100% or 1000%. But the thing is, it's a growth stock, and growth stocks have a huge risk compared to value stocks, for example. So when it comes to real investing, people realize too late that they are not ready for this kind of risk. And that's why it's so important to understand your risk tolerance at the very beginning and to invest in stocks or other assets that suits your risk tolerance and not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Have you written a book?
Yeah, I've written a book, Basic Instinct of Trader, and also I'm writing the second book, which will be available very soon. And in my first book, I shared the strategy I used for swing trading and the way I used so-called compounding or pyramiding, but I developed it a bit modernized to current market, because you know market changes all the time, and we have to review the strategies at least once 5 years, for example, or something like that, because our market is getting faster and faster, and it's getting more and more aggressive, and we see more and more parabolic rises. It's the type of an uptrend, but when we don't have a pullback, it's like almost a straight line to the upside. And these kind of moves are very risky for beginners, for example. But for experienced investors, they give a great opportunity to profit very fast.
Mm-hmm. Simone, do you do any trading or investing?
Well, at the moment, I am focused more on commodities because the risk-reward ratio for the coming 2 or 3 months is way better in commodities than in stocks. But later, I will come back to stocks trading again.
Absolutely. So I want to hear from Simone whether or not she does any trading or any investing.
I do some basic investing, but I know nothing about trading, and I kind of get things that I like that I feel are going to be powerful moving forward. And I'm pretty basic when it comes to anything investing.
How about you, Yvette?
I don't do any trading yet. Actually, years ago, I got involved with Stash, and that is a little online stock trading company You attach it to your, you link your bank account and you invest how much you want to every week or biweekly or even monthly, I believe, and into whatever stocks you want to. They also recommend stocks and things like that. So I did do a little bit, but that was a while ago, and I haven't looked into any more trading or stocks. So I want to. That is something that I am interested in doing. Maybe I need to link up with Ina. So maybe I could get her contact information and learn some stuff from her.
Hey, you need to get into Dogecoin.
Ina, if Yvette wants to know about more about it, are you in a Bitcoin, Ina?
No, I don't engage in Bitcoin because there is not enough historical data. You know, I am an old school trader and I want to filter my trades to have the most high winning rate and the best risk reward. So actually, I don't care what to trade, stocks, commodities or something else, but I need a strong setup, fundamental setup and technical setup. And when I see the asset that has strong setup for rally or decline, I will trade it. So regarding Bitcoin, I made a forecast few years ago when Bitcoin was at 16K and I forecasted it will drop to 3K and then bounce from that level. But it was the only forecast I made regarding crypto. So I prefer to trade markets where I have the way bigger chances for winning. For example, last year we had a very good trade and I shared it on YouTube with my followers. It was corn and I focused a big rally in corn. And actually corn gave 15K profits per one contract, per one futures contract. So it's, the risk for that trade was 1K. So it's just amazing risk reward. And for example, crypto won't offer you the same risk reward. So it's all about your risk tolerance and it's all about your style, I would say. So crypto are not suitable for everyone.
I'm not against
crypto or something. I'm not saying it's a bad way to trade or something like that, but it's not my style, Jess. I'm too conservative for crypto.
How about you, Yvette? You doing crypto, considering crypto?
It's funny. I was introduced to cryptocurrency probably 20 years ago and Bitcoin, and I just never really got into it. I had a roommate who was really trying to get me to invest in Bitcoin when it first came out. And I was like, what is this? I'm not interested in that. That sounds crazy. And here we are. And now it's the new hot thing. So,
yeah, no, I stayed away from it.
I should.
I stayed away from it and it was weird, but when it first started coming out, I didn't really understand it. To this day, I don't really understand it, but mm-hmm. I saw a post on Facebook that came out from Facebook and they put out a whole press release that said, if you were doing any type of cryptocurrency or Bitcoin, then you couldn't advertise and use Facebook advertising to market it. And I was like, well, if Facebook doesn't trust it, then I don't trust it. But over the years, I've heard different opinions. Some people have said the main reason Facebook put that out is because they're trying to come up with their own cryptocurrency. So I don't know what to believe. All I know is that I am learning and I am growing. Did you hear the same thing, Ina?
Certainly, but I want to pay your attention to some facts. And first of all, it's regulation. And if you noticed, the SEC is trying to regulate crypto markets. And I believe that if they started, they will finish this process and all the crypto markets will be completely regulated. And once it happens, the crypto market will change completely as well, because at the moment in many countries, people don't pay any taxes from crypto gains, for example, and this will change in coming years, because look at the actions that central banks are taking. So I believe a big changes are coming. And even if the crypto will stay here forever, it will be the different type of investment and the different way to price it. I'm not sure what look it will have, but certainly the central banks will step into this game in nearest future.
Wow, we have learned a lot. We've gone all over the board today in terms of today's conversation, but we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Ina.
First of all, I want to wish everyone to have confidence in what they are doing and never give up. Because in my trading journey, I had a few moments when I was almost ready to give up. And for some happy circumstances in my life, I didn't give up. And I am very happy I found that inner powers to stand and to continue with my business. And I am wishing the same to everyone.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yvette, what do you want people to take away from your appearance here today?
I would like people to take away from this episode of your show that no matter what they go through in life, they can still make things happen. They shouldn't stop just because they run into an obstacle. They should actually persevere and keep it pushing, and that book will come out.
Yes, yes, yes. I love it. In the meantime, you're helping people. They can contact you for bookkeeping services. You're doing a lot. So I love it. Simone, what do you have for us today?
It's good because it goes along with what Yvette had to say. It's that, you know, we really, just remember that we all have a story, and it's so important to share our stories, and that we don't need to change who we are. We need to change the way we see ourselves. And when we believe in ourselves and we can, you know, really the world opens up, we can start moving forward on so many different things because we feel proud about what we're doing and the stories that we're sharing.
Mm-hmm. And where can people find more information about you?
On my website, simonekenego.com. It's a weird last name, K-N-E-G-O. You can find information about me, my speaking, my book, my family. It's all there. So please check it out and please reach out if you have a question or a comment. I'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. I want to thank you all for being today's guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who watched it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you're not important in it. Definitely doesn't mean we still don't need your support. Please go ahead and share the show. But as always, please don't just watch and share the show. Support our guests. Our guests are here with you this morning to support you, to share their journeys, their stories, and their information. So support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. But don't just visit the website. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning, TGIF, 8 a.m. every weekday, tune in, stay safe, and be blessed. Bye now.
Bye.